Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people that, huh?
Well, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, 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 everyone, to the Thursday night edition of God in the Midst, Get'em Radio. Hallelujah. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. We adore you. We magnify you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. And we just thank you for your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And so we thank you for being in the midst tonight, Lord God, moving by your spirit. We continue to dedicate this broadcast to you. Hallelujah. It belongs to you, Lord God. We want you to have your way. Every moment, every second, every heartbeat, and every breath, in the name of Jesus, moved by your spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, that your right hand is exalted as never before in this program. Your right hand doeth valiantly tonight, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for your blood covering over everything that is said, that is done, all our emotions, motives. Hallelujah, every part of what is going on, every intention, Lord God, the blood of Jesus is covering us right now in Jesus' name. And we give you praise. We give you glory. Lead our conversation. Make this one of those spiritual conversations that just goes right into our hearts and is a just changes everything. We give you praise and glory, a life-changing experience. We thank you for that by your Spirit, Lord. And we lift up our speaker to you tonight. We thank you right now that you just renew him, restore him, and revive him. We don't know how many trees he had to climb today, Lord God, and different things that he was doing for your glory, Lord. But we thank you, Lord God, that you just strengthen him with might in the inner man by your Holy Spirit. Move mightily through him. We make a demand on your anointing on the inside of him. Hallelujah. That hearts and lives are changed for your glory. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you all for being here tonight. I see so many of you on the line. You came early and everything. Hallelujah. You know, God always blesses those who come early. Hey, and he'll bless those who come late too. Amen. He's just a blessing God. So if you have been with us for the past month, this month, you know that we're doing, we're talking to Brother Wendell Phillip Barwick. And so we've just been having a great time with him. Before we get into that, I want to say early, I want to say this early, we'll say it again later, but this month is a special month for us as we get ready to go into our 10th anniversary. God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio has been here for 10 years. It's been a good ride, y'all. It's been a wonderful journey with Jesus all this time. And so we're very excited to have our anniversary. It's going to be every Thursday in the month of November, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, the same phone number, 516-418-5699. And basically, we're just going to be just loving on God. We're so happy for his goodness and his mercy towards us. And we just want to say, look what the Lord has done in this past 10 years. So please, if you have an opportunity, please join us and celebrate what the Lord has done in God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio, and our family of broadcasts. Hallelujah. In 10 years, we expanded into a family. Hallelujah. So we're excited about that, and we ask you to join us. Amen. Now, tonight, testimony, what an awesome testimony. The thing I remember most is his grandmother dancing around in a bar. Hallelujah. Preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. And it was so much to that, but that's the thing that just stood out to me. You know, it was so much that he said and such a blessing. And then last week, we talked about Murford and the tree tombs. Amen. And how all of that got started. And we talked about him being an arborist, a tree surgeon, you know, one who takes care of trees and climbs trees and all of that good stuff. And so if you did not hear that, you can go back into our podcast, into our ARC, and listen to both of those broadcasts in their entirety. All you need to do is Google or go to any search engine and put in Get 'Em Radio, G-I-T-M Radio. And that will take you through the searches. You'll see our Blog Talk Radio platform. And you'll be able to go into that and to listen to these broadcasts in their entirety any time of the day or night, as many times as you want. Hallelujah. So enjoy yourself. And while you're there, what you will see is we have over 1,300 broadcasts in the past 10 years, and we've covered so many different topics over that time. So please enjoy yourself. If you're buying a house, there's information about that. You want to know about Bitcoin? We got that too. You know, and all of this is from a Christian perspective. Hallelujah. And we have, you know, preachers that we've had on, good word from the Lord, praying in tongues Tuesday. We have so much of the healing ministry. Everything that we've done over the past 10 years has been archived in podcast. So enjoy yourself. It's a nice thing to listen to. And guess what? It's free. Amen. Okay, let's go on to tonight. So we talked to Brother Phil, and he gave us, he just told us about Murford and the Tree Tunes last week. He told us about being an arborist. And had some really good questions on that at the end. And so tonight, we're going to start with, well, we're going to say hi to him first. Amen. Hi, Brother Phil.
Hello, Sister Barbara Kizzy. Can you hear me okay? I have a speakerphone on. Is it okay?
Yeah. You just sound real mellow and cool. That's why I'm laughing.
Okay.
You sound super mellow.
You know what? I wanted to share with your guests the easiest way to, if they want to go back and see our last two awesome broadcasts, because you asked the most wonderful questions and I answered, and we had a lot of fun. I think if they just go to blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst. That's another way to, they can see our conversation about Murford and the Tree Tunes last Thursday. And they had me kick it off with my testimony two Thursdays ago. So that's noble. You really put God in the midst of everything. And I just really honor you for doing that. You know, you're not going after this for audience numbers and popularity, and then you kind of squeeze God in there somewhere. You pretty much let everyone know he's front and center. But I've had such a good time. We've had such a cool time the last couple times. So let's hit it off tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm honored that you had asked me to tonight share about Pakistan and my ministry, Freedom Cry.
Yeah, absolutely. So now let's start with that connection between Murford, you know, how the Lord has used Murford to open the door for you to go to Pakistan. Let's start with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. When I start really regretting some of the stuff that happened in 08, losing our house and farm, like I shared with you, me going to three lawyers and them telling me I'm pretty screwed because it was Bank of America through really an underhanded way. They really did steal my house and my farm. I was going through all this paperwork for home loan modification. So I was one of hundreds, maybe thousands of people that got taken. And, you know, Jefferson County police come into my front yard. They're demanding everything be pulled out in front of the house. And it was weird because we had supported many, many Jefferson County families, their fathers who worked for me. And so here, judges in the pockets of Bank of America and those kind of things. And, you know, when it happens to you, and it just sucks the life out of you. In my case, I just shriveled up and sitting there looking at Murford, looking at me out of a waste paper basket. You know, we had worked hard all our lives and tried to do the right thing and pay our people fairly and, you know, pay our taxes and all that jazz. And here we got bullied out of our house and farm. But God, I don't think if that had never happened, because all things work together for good for those who are called by God, right? Romans 828 or something
828.
Like that. And
yes.
No longer was I working 12 to 16 hours creating work for 9, 10 people and gals for 2.5 decades. All of a sudden, I had some time on my hand. We were being evicted, and we ended up, my wife and I, in a little house. I called it up on Holy Hill, and our girls kind of scattered. And they were renting in the city, and I'm so grateful for my daughters, and they're such a support. And now we're trying to be a support, and so Teresa and I are sitting, and so all of a sudden I started sending Murford out to the world. But I just got on, you know, I had asked Stacia, what are you doing, honey? You know, what's this Facebook? Oh, Dad, it's for kids. But I created a Murford page during that time. I had time on my hands. I patented Murford and the Tree Tunes. I trademarked Murford and the Tree Tunes. My brother, Peter, and a cousin, also named Peter, had been on my case for years that, Phil, you got to get your property, your Murford and the Tree Tunes protected, get them copyright, get them trademarked. And I finally did it, and that was in around that time, 08, between 08 and 10. And then I created a Facebook page, and I'm launching them into Asia, into Israel, into different places, you know, just, and spending a little bit of money, not much, just a little bit to do that on Facebook ads. Not that I was looking to make any money from Murford, but I just wanted to see how people would respond to him, because I just pulled him out of the waste paper basket. Literally, he was sitting there looking at me, and I thought, I got to do what my brother told me to do. I got to do what my cousin told me to do, and I'm going to make something of them. I spent weeks making some comic strips, and I pitched 8 syndicates, and there was a syndicate in Canada that was considering my strips, comic strips, but it was at a time when papers, guess what, they were downsizing, right? So things were going into the internet. So that didn't happen. But about that time, there's some fans that happened in Pakistan, Murford fans of all places, and especially this one young man. And he started telling me about Brickyard Kids, and I got intrigued. What are Brickyard Kids? And he sent me some photos of his father going into a brickyard. And these kids, they were scantily dressed. They were skinny. I saw mountains of bricks, miles of bricks, and that's all these children did with their lives. They were in bonded labor with their parents, and some even orphans were in there making bricks their entire life. They grow old making bricks. They're buried in the graveyard of the brickyard, and so on and so forth. Generations of primarily minority Christians. And in many places of the world where there's a minority, of course, a majority somehow gets this idea that they're born to serve them. Like the USA 250 years ago, right?
Right.
So I'm on the other.
Yeah.
So this is happening on the other side. Yeah, you know, your great-great-great-grandmothers, grandfathers and that. So I was named after the abolitionist Wendell Phillips. So I've had this in my name, and it's entered my bloodstream. Wendell Phillips, he was an abolitionist during before and after the Civil War, and then after the Civil War, he fought for Indian rights and women's rights. And so my heart went out. This young man pitched me about having a school for the Brickyard Kids. I called a buddy up in Michigan. I don't know if he's watching. I texted him, hey, I'm on the radio. And I said, look, if I throw in 200 a month, will you throw in match my 200 a month? And we'll, and this young man says, hey, Dave, we can call it the Murford Mulder School. Because I said his name on the radio, but Murford Mulder had a good ring to it. And he said, why not? Well, I don't know if we funded it over a year, close to 2 years on. And all this time I thought we had opened a school for children who get no education, who are robbed of education. Lo and behold, found out that we were primarily had opened a school for the kids in his father's church. I got really angry. I had been lied to. Since then, this young man, who's now not so young a man, has repented. His father's repented. I know a totally different countenance in him because I met him on my third trip. But this is what happened. I was scammed. Now, I know me and I know a lot of other American men. I think most American men would have said blank country. I got blanked on the blank with them and just wiped them up, you know? But one thing I am is naive, but the other thing I am is I like to get down to the truth. Okay, I got scammed, but do Brickyard Children really exist? And so I spent several months finding everything I could read on the internet about bonded labor in Pakistan, Bangladesh, China, India. And Pakistan's big. They got 20 big on bonded labor. They got 20,000 brick kilns. And yes, there's been generations of millions of children. I mean, not just the children, but the mothers and fathers locked in this modern day type of slavery called bonded labor. And people can look it up. I won't go into the details of what it is unless you want me to.
Well,
but,
let me just briefly say, I looked up, I got a little bit of information on it, and what I read about was that there's three types of bonded labor. The first is when a child inherits a debt carried by his or her parent.
Right.
The second is, it's another form of bonded labor occurs when a child is used as collateral for a loan. For example, a parent facing an unusually large or urgent expense would use this method to obtain necessary money. So the child would be like collateral. And then the third is a child worker can to bondage to their employer by requesting an advance on future wages they expect to earn. And
Fathers are forced to do that because the minorities don't get a loan from anywhere. Even though the USA has sent billions to Pakistan, Trump is smarter than he looks. He stopped it. He ended the waste that we are dumping into Pakistan. We made four generals multi-millionaires, four Pakistani generals, and they took their USA riches and they bought massive yachts and mansions and left Pakistan. So the corruption is rife. I mean, we have it here, but I mean there, it's in the ground, it's in the air, it's even in the trees. But I tell you what's amazing is you can crack through those hard hearts and those bricks. The Holy Spirit went ahead of me and behind me. But here I find this out. I find this out that this is real. But you know what? What's interesting is just ask me another question so that I get carried away in a long lost person.
I want to go back. I want to go back for a moment and ask you, again, because I kind of heard it, but I kind of didn't hear it very clearly. When you and your friend sent the $200 a month, which was $400 a month there, which is probably an astronomical amount of money for them, what did they end up doing to that money that you found out about later? You said something with a church?
Yes. Well, we did have a school. We did have a school, and we were able to employ three or four precious teachers, and couple of them I have relationship. Freedom Cry has relationship with them to this day. My primary interpreter was hired to be the principal of this school. So this young man and his father, they hired teachers, they hired a principal. We really did get books, but they were primarily the kids in his church. And what angered me was there are government schools, and they could have gone to a government school, but they were brother-brother, but the government schools, you know, they have Islam. So you know what? If you bring up a child in the way they shall go, it's not, they're not that indoctrinated. They weren't then in the government schools. I mean, the science and the math and all the textbooks do start off with Muslim heroes of the Muslim hero of math, Muslim hero of science, Muslim hero of this and that. But that's it. You know, that they're not forced to say prayers that aren't of their religion or anything like that. But I tell you what, it my friend could have said, Phil, this is what happened. I knew this was real. I wanted to do something from afar, from the USA. I realized that these people were being held in unjust ransom, where a nominal loan of $100 would turn into $1,000, you know, 10 years later. And so it's like, if any listeners are old enough to remember the song Hotel California, you can check in anytime you want. You can never leave. I wanted to say the only way so many minorities, and there's Muslims, lower caste Muslims trapped in this too. It isn't just a minority Christians. They happen to be the majority of people who are locked in this bonded labor. They cannot get loans except from a brick master. And so there's, I call it interest from hell is piled on, but they make enough to eat in a day. So if there's several days of rain, no bricks are being made. They have to beg and borrow from the brick master, and that's how the loan just increases. But when I asked my friend Dave, fast forwarding to my first trip and my first wanting to set some families free, he could have said, Phil, you know what? Didn't work. He believed in me. He was following me. He's now my president. I wanted a president. I'm not the president of the board. I need to be accountable to somebody. So I'm accountable to Dave. And then there's a wonderful boyhood friend named Mark Christensen who, from the beginning, he was watching me. And you know what's interesting? You like to think it's going to be Christians that are on board with you. Now, my friend Mark was surrounded by Christians, but he's not actually a church-going religious guy. But he has a heart of compassion, and at his age of 66 like mine, he says, Phil, you've given me a reason later in life to do something more than what I was doing with the American dream. We are drowning in our American dream. You know, I hear a lot now going on in our country right now, and without getting political, there's some crazy stuff that's going on. And I do like to listen to the podcasters I like to listen to who have come out of the woodwork. But when I hear people saying American families are suffering, that bugs me bad. Maybe it's because I've been to Pakistan 3 times. American families are suffering, you know, for the poorest among
comparatively
us, the most poorest among us live better than kings did down through the centuries. So anyway, I bit the bullet. I went to Pakistan. Before I went to Pakistan, I freed a single woman who I was then in contact with a pastor there. And she had dropped a brick on her foot. Her foot was broken, and the brick man requiring her to make a quota of 500 bricks a day. I couldn't believe my eyes. And she had two little girls with her, and I've seen this, and I sent some money to free her. And then I wanted to know more, and this pastor I was working with, I had left that other young man and his father, and there really were other humanitarians. They're far and few between, But pastors weep for these people. They true pastors. The other thing I've had to find out in Pakistan, I don't trust anyone at all because they have the word pastor in front of the name. And in fact, red flags go up when EV evangelist is in front of my someone saying that never used to happen until I got scammed more than once. But when I went there, I went there, and I'm just a tree guy, right? I have a high overhead in my tree trade, but I was able to save enough money the summer of 2020 to go on my first trip, and I was like, how can I so if someone shows up with enough ransom, they can buy the freedom of a family. But I was like, how am I just going to free one or two or three people like I had before I showed up there in the flesh? I thought the other families are still there. I went there and I freed an entire brickyard. And Barbara, it was like just dying and going to heaven. And people, you know, I felt like Jesus taking the whip to the buyers and sellers in the temple when he emptied out the temple. And
right, right.
Not in any way. Yeah. I felt like that. And I emptied out a brickyard. And when that happened, something crazy like that, I guess word gets around. And so word got around.
You think? No, hey, this is my question here. I know that the people, the family or families who were freed in that brickyard were happy, happy, happy. What about the brickmaster?
Brickmaster's happy, happy, happy too, because he got
money,
bunch of money, and it's a revolving door in the brickyard. There's always someone who is so hard up. No Pakistani banks, and there's lots of them. No one's given them any of that American billions of dollars of money that went to help. No, and none of it gets loaned out to the minorities. Now, there are some humanitarian organizations in Pakistan. I'm not the only thing happening. But I tell you what, a lot of humanitarians didn't last long in that country, and I'm networked with a man who's a walking miracle. He shouldn't still exist, but God is protecting this man. He's the president of the humanitarian the name will come to me, but anyway, the long and short of it is it's easy to fill these brickyards with people who are desperate for a loan. A wife is sick or a daughter needs to get married, and the only places that people can borrow money from is the brickmaster. Now, I guess it's a good thing in the short run because they're the only ones that are lending any money, but in the long run, it's the worst thing. People get places.
I want to throw in a quick story.
Yeah, I want to keep going, but I want you to ask me the next question.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, just very quickly, this reminds me of a story in my family, a real, real story in my family, when my grandfather wanted to leave Mississippi with his family, and they were doing stuff. I mean, it was not even close to what they're doing here, but kind of close. It was, they were hazards or something they were called that on the farms in Mississippi. So like the people on the farm who owned the farm would supply the seed, and my grandfather and his family would, you know, plow the fields, plant the seed and all of that. And then they would get a certain percentage of, you know, what it was. But of course they had to pay for where they were staying and everything. And so, but it was one year that the crops were really great, and they decided to make their quote unquote escape out of Mississippi. And they really had to sneak to do what they did. They couldn't come right out and say, we're leaving. And long story short, my grandfather got arrested on his way out of town. First, they sent my grandmother and all the children. They sent them out of town. They went out of town by themselves just saying that they were going to go visit. And then as my grandfather and my mom was with them at that time, too, and my mom is like 90, so, you know, it's within the past 100 and something years. And so as they were getting ready to go out of town, they arrested my grandfather. And the farm owner said that my grandfather was stealing some things from him. And so they went all through the, found out that there was nothing that belonged to the farmer on the truck, and that my grandfather had, he had gotten somebody who had a license to move them. He wasn't just moving himself. And that person with the license meant a lot. At that time, I don't understand the fullness of it, but anyway, they released him from jail, and he went on and caught up with his family. And so, we've even heard of something kind of similar to that. And then, while I'm still talking, I still think about these loans, these payday loans. I mean, it doesn't make people go into labor, but I don't know if you ever heard of a payday loan.
But
they charge extreme interest. Like if you start with $100, it ends up you're paying like $500. Now a person hasn't sold their body for that and to work like that, but it's just a teeny tiny bit of that in the United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. They work 10, 12 hours a day. They wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning to beat the incredible 100 to 110 degree heat. The water's many of the brickyards' water is poor. Many brickyards have someone in the family who's sick from the water. So, you know, I've asked these brickmasters on my third trip or my second trip, God told me speak to the heart of the brickmasters. And I would ask them, you know, would you let your child spend her whole life not only making bricks for someone, but drinking this kind of water and this kind of thing? And then invariably they hang their head, they shake their head, they'll even admit it's wrong. But will they let anyone go free? No, except, and I want to speak to some positivity and what God's been doing. So I had emptied out that brick kiln. And with my own money, but to my chagrin, I recently found out that half of them have returned. But my board member, Mark Christensen, on the other side of the USA has a net to catch him now. He has thrown himself into, and he has thrown his own lifetime savings into building a freedom house. And in that freedom house, we've already begun to teach young ladies we have freed sewing, and they are learning at an extraordinary pace, and they are making some beautiful garments. There's a wonderful girl who was a house servant for majority religion, famous rich family, and she would just hunker down into a little room in Lahore. We brought her out of there. Mark brought her out of there down to Freedom House, and she is training these girls, and we already have other girls on deck that we have freed from this scourge. And so this will not happen again, you know, where we leave anyone with alone to have to fend for themselves. They aren't allowed many opportunities, just like blacks weren't, even after the days of slavery. So it's another world, you know. And so, like you were saying, what happened to your grandfather trying to leave? Many a family has tried to leave and escape, and what happens to them is pretty cruel. That a brickmaster will send his goons after them. They'll be brought back. They'll be beaten. Yeah. People fear these guys. And so we're bringing a fear of God. I am going to, God's giving, but I want to say there are, just like there were merciful slave masters, if there can be such a thing, well, there are actually some merciful brick masters. And I would like to, before I bum too many people out and before I talk about what Freedom Cry is doing to free mm-hmm. children in creative ways, I do want to say that I've made friends with a couple of brick masters. And one of them was dying. He had a 30% of his heart. He was terrified. Someone had told him, call Wendell. He got a hold of me on WhatsApp. And you know what? I get so many calls and chats from WhatsApp, but I'm going up and down trees and I'm trying to sell tree work. I'm trying to keep, you know, things going here. I have to filter out who I can talk to. But the Holy Spirit just put this guy in my face, and I answered him. And over a course of 3 days, I found out he is a brick master. I confirmed, you're a brick master. Yes, brother. He had told me that initially anyway. And over a course of 3 days, he was asking me about Jesus and
wow.
letting me know the conversation. He could get in big mm-hmm. trouble and so on and so forth. And the third night, I led him in a prayer of salvation. He calls me the morning after. He calls me. He says he's really tentative. He's saying, brother, I do not know if I should say this. I do not know what to say. I don't know who I tell to anybody. I dream. And he touched me. And he said, do good to people. He said, I went to my doctor today. And he said, what happened? Your heart is 100%. I tell him, Jesus healed me. Yeah. So I'm staying in touch with him. There's hundreds of thousands, if not a few million, what my primary interpreter calls secret Christians. And this is something else that's really curious. And for all of us, I just can't, this is so amazing. And I think I shared this with you that even though changing your faith from the majority religion to Christianity over there is against the law, I mean, it's really against the law, but your own family will extricate themselves from you or beat you up or worse before the government, throw you in jail. So I don't even think the government would, really. They, you know, it's like, so what, right? But there is a strong spirit of Antichrist, and we're feeling it here in this country now. We're feeling it. But it is, it's already reared its head big time in other third world countries, and we know about what real persecution, physical persecution is like. Right now, it's kind of beating on the doors, you know? In the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
and we all feel this tenseness, and this is why I'm going through a period of fasting and praying between now and the election, and I'm not doing that to blow my horn. I'm just, if anyone is feeling called to do it, mm-hmm. do it, because I had to extricate myself from my podcasts and getting fed all of the stuff, right? We're all fed, all the airwaves are full of it, and to be able to have God in the midst, just like the name of your fantastic mm-hmm. show, God in the midst. But I asked my interpreter, well, how is it if it's illegal to become turn from Islam to Christianity, I don't get why they allow Muslims to come to our crusades. We have a lot of big meetings where people would just come. And he chuckled and he said, it's because they know they get healed. They know
okay.
they get healed at the crusades. And so I still didn't get that until I came back from one of my trips. I'm in the Word of God, and there I'm reading how Jesus was healed the man with the withered hand. And there was another instance, I think the man who was set down from the roof in a pallet, the crippled man, his answer to the scribes, to the Pharisees and Sadducees who chastised him for healing on the Sabbath, on the holy day,
Right.
He said, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and be healed?
Mm-hmm.
So these Muslims that go and they get healed by Jesus, they all get healed. I mean, they get healed. It isn't like one out of ten get healed. That they go and Jesus touches them in these places. And so it's a no-brainer. They're like, Jesus healed me. He's my friend. He's my God. Right? So that was very interesting. It's
now,
a rich country.
I need to fill in. Finish your statement, and I want to fill in some blanks. So take a breath when you finish your statement. Go ahead.
It's a rich country, not in material things like we're saturated with, but it's a rich country in spiritual mysteries and wonderments and craziness. Go ahead.
Yeah. I can understand that, because some people, when people believe in whatever they believe in, you know, even if it's, you know, synchronistic or just outright wild or whatever, they believe in that. So I understand what you're saying. Now, what I want to ask you, okay, you were through Murford. People began to see Murford over there in Pakistan. You were invited to come to Pakistan. There was a young man that you began to talk to. And when you communicated with him, he began to tell you about the brick, the bondage that they were in there, working in the brickyard. I don't know if I'm saying the right words, but as bonded laborers in the brickyard. And so you went over there. I'm kind of summarizing a little bit. Some people joined us not too long ago. So I'm summarizing as I'm going to some other place with this. So, so you go over there and you realize that these people are in slavery. They're not being let go. A limb is broken. They still must provide 500 bricks a day in the 110 degree heat. And so you go over there and you begin to use the funds that you have and asking a friend of yours to help with the funds, and you guys get some people out of this bondage. In fact, a whole brickyard has been freed out of that. Okay.
Right.
And so and you were saying that some of them went back because actually, they need to be trained to live and to help themselves. Now, this is the part I want to get to. I know I left out a few things there. But the part I want to get to is, how did it come from there to having crusades and then all of these Muslims are coming and getting healed? Because there's miracles that are going on.
Yeah. There's two different things going on. But first, I want to say, Gulshan. Her name was Gulshan. The first lady I freed, August of 2020. Her ransom was $800. No, she was expected to make 500 bricks a day, which is crazy. I've met other widows in there who their brick masters were not that cruel. They had to make 200 or 300 because their hubbies died and were buried in the brickyard. And this is one thing I want to say: a woman never gets paid for her making of bricks. The only one that gets paid is the father. You know when the woman gets paid is when the father, yard, graveyard, then all of a sudden his wife starts getting paid. So if the wife was getting paid, the father was getting paid, the children who are being robbed of education were getting paid, the family would make a decent living. So the mafia brickyard gets away with paying an entire family. And by the way, their requirement, their quota is more like 1,000 to 1,200 bricks for an entire family, 10 to 12 hours a day. Again, they make enough to eat. They get, now the minimum wage in Pakistan is 800 Pakistani rupees, which is about 4.5 American dollars. And and usually people, you know, I mean, it's another world, and things, there's some things that are the same amount of money as in the USA, but there's a lot of things that are much less than this. But so that's the minimum wage for one human being, right? 800 Pakistani rupees or 4.5 US dollars. But the brickyards, the 20,000 brickyards get away with paying entire family the wages of one human being. That's the problem. And so I'm going to go now front and center to your question. How I was talking about bonded labor and the families locked in the system. And but what about, what does that have to do with the Crusades?
Well, how did you get there?
So there's Australians that'll go over there, Americans that'll go over there, and usually they'll pay a crusade cost $10,000, and they bust a lot of people in, and the word of God is preached, and people really are healed, but no one's discipled. So this is direly needed, and you know what, I always wanted to preach. I mean, I came down to Missouri to be an evangelist, a soul on fire. I wanted to preach to thousands and hundreds. Now, you know what, decades later, God having tested me and tried me and thrown me back up into the crotches of trees and didn't allow me to go into ministry, now I really don't have this burning passion to preach to thousands. I have a burning passion for God to reach them, because they are in darkness, and the devil is a liar and a cheat and a thief. And and these children are not these brickmasters, beasts, birds. They're created in God's image just like they are. So my look, there's the people of Pakistan are so hungry for a move of God and word of God. And I've had offers to come and preach to thousands. We had crusades. I didn't go there to preach. I threw a bunch of work clothes in my suitcase my first time. I did it my second time to go work in a brickyard. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but I was angry and I wanted to go. I wanted to see, how can I free people? I can't believe this is happening. But yet then all of a sudden I was asked to preach here and preach there and preach here and preach there. So hundreds turned into 1,000, turned into 5,000, and it was just a move of God that happened when I was there my first time. But now what Freedom Cry, so crusades continue to happen, but it's an American or an Australian preacher or some preacher who preaches. But you know what's so exciting, what we are doing with Freedom Cry is we're imparting to our teachers and to brickyard workers who are now working with Freedom Cry, the Holy Spirit. They are going, they are laying hands on the sick. We are seeing the deaf hear and the lame walk without massive crusades. We're just going in secret from brickyard to brickyard to brickyard, doing this. God sees it. We want God, please. And it's a lot cheaper than having a big crusade. So this, I don't know if I answered your question or not, but it's so fun to know.
Okay,
that
yeah, you did. You answered it.
Make disciples,
you
right?
Really
go
went
and
there.
Make disciples. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you really went there to work and to see what was going on, and you were asked to preach.
They had to dress me. They had to give me clothes. They had to give me Pakistani garments, and I got to like them. But yeah, that's what happened.
They're comfortable.
Yeah, I love them. And then guys are all starting to dress Western, and I'm like, no, I want to keep wearing the stuff that the men of the bonded laborers wear, and they're the traditional Pakistani cloth. You know, baggy pants, baggy gown. I love it. The real thin cotton material, which is cool in the summer. But yeah, so now you want to ask me what I'm doing now, or do you have another question?
No, I have another question. Let's stay with the you going from brickyard to brickyard and praying for people. You told me about a miracle that happened. You know, we were talking about a woman whose ankle gag. You also prayed for someone who was born deaf and mute. So tell us about that.
Well, that's happened. But what's more exciting is that, what's more exciting is I was able to impart that to our people. Our own people are doing that. So it's not just
Amen.
A time occurring. It's happening. I don't know how many now we prayed over three or four in the last year. Three I know for sure, just recently a girl. So we were opening, this is exciting, we were opening up a brickyard school. And I'm so excited about this. And no one can accuse us of only serving Christians. We don't do that. It just happens that Christians are the main ones in these places. But we found a brickyard with 27 Muslim children and only two Christian children. Okay, so my interpreter, Nadim, was motioning children to stand up, and I was on a live chat with him on the side of the earth. And this young lady wanted to be a doctor. This boy wanted to be a soldier. This other girl wants to be a teacher. And he motions, you know, these children, they were born in a brickyard. They're working 10 or 12 hours a day, and they're being robbed of education. But they have hope. They have dreams. Someone, they want to learn. They're hungrier for education than the roti cooked over cow dung with sticks and a little bit of slurry mixed in. They're so hungry for education. And this, he motions to this one girl to stand up, and the children tell him she cannot speak. Well, if you can't speak, you also can't hear. So he laid his hand on, and I'm seen to hear lay his hand on. So I got two brothers who are full-time with me in Freedom Cry laying their hand on this little girl's head, and they pray. And then a sincere prayer, but then they move on. And so the camera's moving away. Wait, go back there. Ask her, can she talk now? And they talk to her, and they go, no, brother, she cannot speak. I said, okay, let's pray for her again. But this time, ask all the children to reach out their hands to the girl. And we pray in Jesus' name. And her countenance, her eyes went wide open because she wasn't smiling at first or anything. She had this big smile that lit up, and all of a sudden I could tell she was hearing. She was hearing the Nadim, and she started making sounds, you know, ha, fa, cha. And he tried to tell, that's what he would say, ha, ha, hallelujah, you know, hallelujah, you know, and the children are so excited. So we started that brick kiln, and that brick kiln is dedicated to the president's son, the president of Freedom Cry's son, tragically died a little over a year ago, left a wife, a widow, and three little ones, the president of Freedom Cry, and we wanted at least three schools. It's called the Jeremy Mulder Freedom School in honor of his son. And lo and behold, this school was kickstarted with this incredible miracle that all the children experienced. They all knew her. They were all born in the brickyard. She's never able to hear or speak. And they will always remember. They all reached out their hands and Jesus healed her. And 27 Muslim and two Christian children. It just doesn't get any better than that, except it sort of gets almost as good as that, because I think the greatest miracle of all that was reported back to me by two of our evangelists. I don't like to use the word evangelist, but it's in the Bible, so I'm going to use it. And one was a brickyard man, an older man, and a younger man, and I charged them as a team to go and do these things. And it was reported back to me that are you there?
Yes.
Okay. It was reported back to me that some children that I call them I named them the Brickyard Bishop, if you will.
Okay.
And Brickyard he was in a brickyard since he was 8 years old, and now he's in his 50s and he's free. He reported back that through an interpreter, and the young man, both him and the young man Seth Gill and Bishop Brickyard Bishop Plummet, reported back the children that they prayed over able to read their Urdu Bible, and they were even reciting it. And this was phenomenal. And I asked one of my other interpreters, I said, can you verify this? Have you heard about anything like this? He says, yes, brother, we have heard of this. So, you know what? The same God who confused the one world language at the Tower of Babel and gave people, right, a new language.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yes.
And I'm so excited about that. I want to see more of that happen. I mean, so all of a sudden they're reading Urdu and the Urdu Bible, and we don't even have a Freedom School System in that brickyard. And here they were doing that. So that was really exciting.
Amen. Wow. Now, I know our time is almost up for this. I'm going to a few more questions. At least I want to find out what your family is thinking about what you're doing, and your family friends thinking about that. And I got one more after that.
I could tell you that before I went, that would be a question to say, what did they think about this before you went? And I would tell you that family and friends were not sure. They just really had strong reservations, really strong reservations. And really all except for the president of the board, who believed in me. And that's a good reason why he's president of the board now. And a boyhood friend who's on the board. I will tell you two not immediate family members really challenging me. Why am I going? What about my family? You know, what if I end up in jail? And you know what? I believe they legitimately were worried for me. And my answer to one of them was Paul ended up in jail. You know, he wrote 11 of the books of the New Testament, I think mostly from jail. But my girls are grown. You know, I have good life insurance. My wife, I had to have her blessing, and she did bless me. She didn't like it, but she knew that. She said, I have to say, close to the day of leaving, that God is with you. But the only people who were really on board were three women. And what I noticed when I came back, they had all led lives of great suffering, physical suffering. One had MS. One was still battling cancer. I think two had been battling cancer. They knew about the suffering. And they were on board, and they donated a little bit of money, you know, $50 or $100, and very huge with me. When I finally went there and came back, then people, you know, they saw it wasn't a scam, it wasn't crazy, this really was happening. And I have to say, when I came back, besides the 13 families I personally ransomed, another 20 families have been freed since then. And out of those 20 families, The majority are still free, and we're following up on the ones that have had to return, and we're going to do everything we can to get them back out. And, yeah, so I do want to say this. Hold on to that last question. So I'm saying people got on board, friends got on board, a few family members got on board, and so I wasn't, so the donations were starting to come in, and I'm grateful for that. We can't get enough donations. The 20,000 brick kilns, we have schools in 16 of the brick kilns. We are educating 340 children. And because one of my interpreters said, brother, you know what? You can pay $1,000 for the ransom of one family, but all the other families are still in the brickyard. And I said, yeah, I know, that bothers me. He said, but you can take that $1,000 and we can spend it on a teacher and all the books and supplies and whiteboard and paper and pens for an entire year almost. And so that's what Freedom Cry Life. And I want to say, if anyone wants to check out the website, it's, if you go to Freedom Cry, you're going to see a video game, kind of a violent Knights in Shining Armor kind of video game. That's called, it's real popular. It's called Freedom Cry. So you have to type in Freedom Cry Life or freedomcry.life and to come to it. But this, but now that I've come there three times now, you know, people know it's real. And I want to just say this. I want to say that we are presently trying to get Brickmasters to get on board with us. And my people are going into the brick kilns with the law of Pakistan. Child labor is illegal, but it's not enforced. We're leaving the laws of the nation on their desk, and we also have a shining photograph framed of the president of Pakistan where he said education is imperative to Pakistan. Without education, our nation is going to die. If a brickmaster agrees to chip in for the supplies, he's going to get a beautiful framed picture of the president of Pakistan, the founder of Pakistan, on his wall. So we're able to be – I want to see them saved. I want to see these guys get on board and go from being looked at as cruel, mean, modern day slave masters to be fathers to these families in their brick kilns and treat them well and God's blessing pour down like monsoons.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that was my last question.
Okay.
Like what's going on now and what's the plans for the future? So you answered my question. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is it's so interesting, and it's more than interesting. It touches the heart. It's like, you know, okay, what do we do from here?
Right.
So
pray
for the people who are listening. That the Lord will touch hearts, that we will know by his spirit where we should go from here.
Yes. We need that more than anything, because God can just change the heart of a nation in a day. I believe.
Oh,
I really know
this.
You know, I met one brickmaster. I'm building a really good relationship with this man. This man really wants to do anything he can to help Freedom Cry. I had heard before one brickyard got on a bus to come to our biggest crusade, the brickmaster brought them all in to his courtyard. He and his father had really felt in their conscience, they thought Allah will be happy with it. The father told the son, you know what, these are our people. Allah will be happy with us if we let them go free. They had 35 Christian and 15 Muslim families in this brickyard. And he said, all your debts. So the son was given charge by the father to say, all your debts are in this book. in the fire. You're free. I had,
wow.
Because someone had told us that before they came to our crusade, it's like the Holy Spirit was already moving because we had been praying that God would change the hearts of the brickmasters from brick to clay, right? Clay, this is what they make bricks with. And I had to meet this man. So on my last trip, I got to meet him. And we're walking into this massive outdoor brick factory, and the peace of God was all over this place. It was like a ghost town because there wasn't the sound of bricks and clanking, and the air sat just darkened with the coal smoke, which just sickens the people too. And he said the peace of God had come on him when he did that. I said, what? Does anyone else do this? He said 10 years ago. So you have an entire nation. Everyone knows when something this radical happens. It'd be like when Thomas Sappington here in St. Louis freed his slaves. I have a little bit of a problem driving down Jefferson. I have no problem driving down Sappington. He freed his slaves. So here I'm meeting a man who was the only brickmaster of 20,000 brickmasters that freed all his people. I'm going back there, and he's invited me, you know, to his home, and I think he's going to be a really good partner. I'm bypassing coming this Thanksgiving. I want to get noticed to this man and to other brickmasters who I'm beginning to befriend. I want to speak to their hearts. I want to get a big feast, not for pastors and evangelists, but for brickmasters, and come in there in the Holy Spirit, bless them, and tell them what is in store for them if they treat those who they can't see like they treat their God, like they want to treat their God who they don't see. And I just believe God is just going to crack open the nation by speaking to the heart who were considered the cruelest. Because we can put the law in their face and get them really ticked off, or speak to the conscious man in them and see the blessing that they would have if they do what's right, just like Jesus told that man in his dream, treat the people good.
Amen.
I think God's anointed, given me a favor. I think he's given me favor for this thing.
Amen.
And
as we open up the lines
for the freedom companies, the Freedom House and Freedom Companies, and the entrepreneurial skills we're giving to the children, and the production that's going to happen from my good friend Mark, who's spearheading that. That has to happen. You know, the practical kind of livelihoods. So we're excited about that. Young men learning construction trades, young men who have been freed learning construction trades also.
Hallelujah. And the key is the Lord.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And then,
of course,
you know, for them to be trained so that they won't go back into the bondage that they were in before.
Right.
Now, we're kind of running a little late, and we're going to open up the line. If you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, prophecy requests, you want to encourage the man of God, press your number one key. Amen. Hallelujah. If he said anything that just touched your heart, touch your number one key. Amen. And also, if you have a prayer for him, he's going into some ground that is he's being led by the Lord on this, and has plans to pray for these brick masters so that they can have a heart, he said, like of clay, but, you know, the Bible says a heart of flesh. Save them, Lord. Amen. So if you have any prayers for him, you know, feel free to pray for him as well. As you press your number one key. Pastor Price, I see you. Anyone else, press your number one key, and we'll be opening up the lines in just a moment. We want to start with Pastor Mom, who may be asleep right now, We've had a long day, long couple of days. So if she's available, if she's awake, then she'll say hi. And then we have Pastor Catherine. Amen. We're opening up your lines. Hopefully you're in a good place right now. Pastor Mom, Pastor Catherine.
Well, praise God. Can you hear me?
I hear you well.
Yes. Mom might hear me as I'm talking, but she is really, really asleep. She's had a long day today, as you say. But I wanted to say thank you for your boldness.
And thank you.
As you were talking about your family and everything, I thought about when, you know, like when you see someone, a couple that's married, you're going like, how could he marry her? Or how could she marry him? So there's always somebody for some. There's always someone for someone. And there's God also has someone for people. For the people that he died for. There are certain people that he have, and I thank God that he has sent you to a place where no probably many others would not want to go. And I just appreciate you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
this, I receive it.
Yeah, it also, as you were talking, it helped me to appreciate more and more the country that I live in, America.
Right.
Because, you know, even as you all were talking about those loans, and as Apostle brought up about the payday loan, but, you know, here in America, even if you got a payday loan, you can go for about 7 years, and, I mean, that would be dismissed.
Yeah.
You can go
right.
bankrupt. Yeah.
Right. I would have ended up in a brickyard already. I would have ended up in a brickyard at times in my life.
Yeah. So it's,
if I was there.
Yeah, and I know that the blacks have, you know, have gone through some things like that in the past, but thank God, prayerfully, that is not. Now, I was told that there is still a little here in America, but however, the majority of the blacks are free now. Majority of them
right.
here in America, And even if they're not, I believe that they still have food and clothing and a home to live in.
Right.
So
right.
I do know that there are still many people that are still in slavery. And God wants them free. He wants to show his power.
Amen.
And he can show that power through people like you. So I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you continue to work on Brother Philip. Continue to provide for him, Lord God. Continue to make ways for him. Continue to give him that boldness, Lord God, in you, in the name of Jesus, that he might be able to go on. Continue to put people in his pathway, Lord God, the right people. And we come, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, everyone that shouldn't be in his life, that may be deceiving him or whatever, Lord, we thank you that you are going to fight his battle for him. And we just want to say thank you. We pray, Lord God, once again, for your divine protection as he goes to and fro in the name of Jesus. And we just want to say thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so thankful for that prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Catherine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
God bless you. Mom is awake now. You want to say anything, Mom?
Oh, hello. Hi,
hello.
Hello.
We're doing good.
I'm so glad. Man, I thank the Lord for it.
Praise God. I'm glad you woke up for such a time as this. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for you.
I want to ask, I've been doing all the jawjacking. I want to ask you, what
What's God been telling you, Sister Saint?
I thank you, Lord. And I'd love to hear you talk.
You have to translate for me. Yeah.
Okay.
The precious
All right.
time.
Thank you.
Yes, she's still very sleepy.
Right. No, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's precious.
Okay. Thank you all.
Okay, and thank you. Yeah, thank you, Apostle, for having him on. It's so good to hear other people that, you know, because sometimes we don't know what's going on in other places. And this is really is an eye-opener. It should be an eye-opener for us.
Yeah,
so thank
it
you.
Is.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Is that Pastor Price?
No, that was Pastor Catherine again. Her and Pastor Mom were together.
Okay, it's kind
Amen.
Of
no.
much. Can't hear that well on this end all of a sudden. Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you, Barbara, for having me on. And I know
You're
once I get on. I... Huh?
Don't go anywhere yet.
Okay.
It sounds like you're closing. Don't go anywhere. Pastor Price is coming on.
Okay.
Can you hear? Okay. All right. Pastor Price, we're opening up your line. Anyone else? Press your number one key. Amen. Okay. Pastor Price.
Glory. Good evening, Apostle, and to Brother Phil and all the precious saints in their respective places tonight. I was hearing Brother Phil say that at one point when he was talking to Mom, he was saying that he was just jaw-dagging. No, you weren't. I just praise God for you. And thank God for you sharing again on tonight. I just got really excited. And one of the things, as you were talking, the Holy Spirit was ministering to my heart. He began to minister to me as you were speaking about what you were doing in the first beginning concerning the children and then about the crusades that God was opening up and has used you in and the ministry that God uses you in. One of the things the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart, he said, Helen, the book of Acts. You know, in the book of Acts, Brother Phil, you know that there are three different titles they have for the book of Acts. One is the Acts of the Apostle, because I know you're a very great student of the word. Another is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, they call it, where the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And then the third title of the book of Acts is the continuing Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus began to do and to finish. And as you know, they say that the book of Acts is the only book of the Bible that's not completed or finished. And the Lord was saying to me, do you see? Do you see how I'm continuing the acts of the Holy Spirit through him, continuing to do what through the Lord Jesus through your life. That's why when you would say, oh, I was just jaw-jagging, no, God is completing. God is touching hearts through this ministry that you have. And I thank God for that. So I just wanted to just say that that's what God was ministering to my heart, that he's moving. The Holy Spirit is continually, the book of Acts, when we get to heaven and the word of God says that the books are going to be open. Well, we know there's so many kinds of books that are going to be open, but I believe that there's going to be one book that's going to be open, which is the books of the Acts of the Apostle, the book of the Acts of the Holy Ghost, the book of the Acts of what Jesus began to do and was still completing. And I believe in those chapters of that book is going to be a book that's going to be talking about Brother Phil and the things that he sent Brother Phil to do in Pakistan, the things that God sent Brother Phil to do concerning Murphy, the things that God used him and how he opened up the doors for you to minister, whether it be to one or two or whether it be to hundreds of thousands or however he had you to do. So I'm excited about sometimes we wanted to live in Bible times. Well, through your life today and what you shared with us today, we're actually living through Bible times with you. I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God for the work you shared tonight and for this being archived and on the records. And so I thank God, and I ask God's continued blessing over you and your wife and your family and over this work of the ministry that God has called you to. So God bless you, and that's what I wanted to say to you tonight. God bless you, man of God. I'm going back on
woman,
you.
Oh, you girl, you ladies just ganged up on me and the goodness of God tonight. I don't know. I'm speechless, Catherine and Mama Pastor and you, Pastor Price. Thank you so much. You're a great catalyst for me with what you just spoken into me. Thank you.
Amen. And now we have another one that has their number one key pressed than anyone else. You know, we still have some time. We're winding up now, but you can still press your number one key. We're going to open a line for Evangelist Shirley and Sister Janza, their mother and daughter.
Well, God bless you and Pastor Mom, and God bless the young man. I don't have much, but I did, the Lord did give me this word for you. He's saying in his own time that things will work out, but it will be in his time. And he gave me this psalm, Psalm 61 for you. And that's it.
Wow. I get it. And you better believe I'm going to dive into Psalm 61 as soon as we close. But I really hear that on time. I really hear that on time thing. You know, there's a time and a season for everything under heaven. And, you know, part of us could think that if we're doing the will of God, what do we have? Why would we have to do that? Why can't we do our own thing, baby? Whenever I do my own thing, baby, we have a choice to be in the time of God. I mean, the geese are automatically in the time of God. When they go north, they go south. The bears who crawl and hibernate for the winter are in the time of God. It's just a thing they do. They don't think, well, I'm not going to be in the time of God. We have a choice. We got to be in a choice of how good and how peaceful and how prosperous it is to be, to throw, put ourselves to rest in the time of God. And you know what? While you're saying that, what comes to me, where is it in Daniel, the spirit of Anna, the beast and the false prophet, they're going to change times? You know, you can almost feel now there's a twisting, not only the narrative, but what, like Isaiah said, in the end days, they're going to call good evil and evil good, darkness light and light darkness. It's almost like you can almost feel an attempted twisting of the time. I don't know about anyone else. So I've received that word to just, you know what, God in the midst. I can't think of a better name of any podcast, any ministry I've heard than God in the midst. Because what did Jesus say? Where two or more of you are coming,
yeah,
fellowshipping
together,
I am in your midst.
In my,
but thank you for that short but powerful word. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist.
You know,
really
I was
good
even,
to hear.
I was, yeah, thank you for that. I have more to say on how that hit me, but it's okay. All three of you, four of you, are just God in the midst. That's all I can say.
Amen. So just kind of rest for a few moments here. I'm going to put you on mute. I want you to come back with a closing remark,
okay,
and closing prayer. Okay? We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Amen. So it's been an awesome night, and we just, we want to turn our eyes to the Lord, which we've been talking about him all night long. And we want to give anyone an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you're thinking about, oh, gosh, he's so bold. God is having him doing a lot of things all over the place. And, you know, even imparting that to children and encouraging them to be able to pray for the sick so that they could be healed. I mean, all of this, he's doing it out of the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not by himself by any means. And God wants to do that with you and through you. Hallelujah. As you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. All of that can be done, but it can't be done the way that God wants it done unless you are born again. And your heart may be there already. Hallelujah. Just needs to take this last step here to give God permission to move in every area of your life. The Bible says this in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." It's so much love in that. It's so much peace in that. It's so much hope in that. God loves you. Hallelujah. You are the whosoever. And then he tells us how to receive him as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." So confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Believing in your heart is making a choice to believe that God is who he says he is. Hallelujah. And that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. And you shall be saved. He said it very plain, very clear. This is not a parable. This is plain and clear. You shall be saved. So if you have not prayed a prayer to receive him as your Lord and Savior, pray it with me now. If you've already prayed, you prayed it once, you are saved, you are born again. But we want to encourage you to pray this prayer so that you can learn how to go out and pray for someone to be saved. I loved it tonight when Brother Phil was saying how these babies, these children around, he just told them, put your hand out, you know, and pray over this girl. And she began to speak and began to hear. And we want this impartation to be to you too in terms of praying for someone to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. By his Spirit, all of us can do it. And he'll send somebody to you in the least expected place. It may be the doctor's office. It may be the dentist. It may be the grocery store. It may be standing in line to get a burger or an ice cream cone. Whatever it is, wherever you are, you can lead someone to Christ, and he'll send people to you. Amen. And so repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, say it again. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and God raised you from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way. Help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, I am saved. I'm born again. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you. We want to welcome you right now into the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. God is your daddy. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. And now he has permission. Yeah, we have to give him permission. As the scripture says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear me and open the door, I'll come in and sup with them and them with me. You have just given him permission to come into your heart, come into your life, to be your Lord and your Savior. Hallelujah. You are in the family of God. You are saved. You are redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now we want to pray for you. We want to pray over you. Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, we just say, hey, Yabo Shata. We thank you that you fill them right now to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that power going into their belly right now, because out of the belly flows rivers of living water. We thank you for that right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for giving them power to live right, power to walk right, power to talk right, power to do right in the name of Jesus, power to read the word of God and understand it, because you're there with them as they read every word. You are there with them. And Lord God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that their prayer language will be released even now in the name of Jesus, that they'll be able to speak in their heavenly language in Jesus' mighty name. We give you praise and glory for it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we want to invite you, now that you're a part of the family of God, you're part of the body of Christ, we want to invite you to a Bible-believing church. Hallelujah. There could be churches in your neighborhood, church you pass by, you kind of like how it looks. Go there. Find out if it's a Bible-believing church and learn and grow in that place. Hallelujah. We also want to invite you to be a part of our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. And Get 'Em is God in the midst, or God in the midst, Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts, so that you can learn and grow with us, because that's what we're doing over here. Hallelujah. We're learning and growing, because what God did was he designed these broadcasts to help us all to learn and grow together. Amen. So what we do in order to connect with us on our family of broadcasts, you call this phone number, 516-418-5699. Amen. So our broadcasts are on Sunday. We have the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Their mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. So every Sunday we're here, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. This week we're doing the second part of our series on the book of Job, and we're looking at God as our perfecter. Hallelujah. And it helps us to see what God allowed Job to go through. Amen. Because he is our author and perfecter. So that's what we're talking about on this Sunday. Amen. And then and we're going to the potter's house on Sunday. Hallelujah. To find out how that all fits in with what God allowed Job to go through. Praise God. On Monday, we have our Bible teaching. We call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. So that's on Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And Dr. Lorraine teaches us how to dig into the Word of God as she digs into the Word of God. On Tuesdays is our prayer time. We have Praying in Tongues Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. We have four people who volunteer to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And then we have interpretation of tongues. And so over these past 2 years in praying in tongues Tuesday at 2 p.m., hallelujah, God has just begun to fine-tune us, where we are hearing, we're from all over the country, but we're hearing the same interpretation, the same scriptures, word for word. Hallelujah. Amen. God is doing something right now. And on Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of every month is our healing service. We call it prophetic healing, where what the Lord does is he lets us know what ailments are going to be healed that night, and what God reveals, he heals. Hallelujah. People call in and they get healed. Praise God. So our next healing service will, so mark your calendar now, set your cell phone alarm, Wednesday, November the 9th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Praise God. And over the past 2 months, we have prayed, and our co-host are Elder Philip Hawkey and his wife, Minister Linda Hawkey. We've prayed for people, and there have been 25 healings in the past 3 months alone. Glory to God. So, you know, God is winding up the year, and lots of healings go on at that time. So make sure you let your friends and family know. Amen. And then Thursday, we have our, now I think I said Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Then on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, we have our Thursday night edition of Get 'Em Radio. Now, this was our core broadcast. This is where we started 10 years ago. Hallelujah. 10 years ago. Now, next Thursday, we're going to have Brother Phil to come back with us. And as he comes back, he's going to preach the word. Amen. We're going to do like a short introduction and then let him go right in and preach the word of God as the Lord leads him to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll still have an opportunity to open up the lines after he preaches. So we're just going to let him loose. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm looking forward to that on next Thursday. And then beginning in November, every Thursday in November, we will celebrate our 10th anniversary. Hallelujah. So we have quite a lineup of speakers who are going to come on. The first week is going to be Apostle Joel David Rudolph from New Jersey. He's my apostolic, he's my chief apostle. Amen. And then we have, the next week we'll have Bishop Aaron. And if you've been with us before, you know who Bishop Aaron is. Hallelujah. And he will be back with us. He'll be with us of November. On the 17th of November, we'll have a fiery young man by the name of Pastor Rodney Reeveling. Glory to God. So we're going to have a good old time. Then on Thanksgiving, yes, we'll be here Thanksgiving, and we'll have Pastor Herbert from Texas who will be with us. And I was looking at that. We have somebody from New Jersey, Atlanta, Georgia, St. Louis, Missouri, and Texas, around the Dallas, Texas area. So, and we have so many things in store to just, we know that God is blessing you. We want to bless you too for just going on this wonderful journey with us for the past 10 years. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, plan on joining us in the month of November. All right. Let's go back now and open the line for Brother Phil so he can give us closing remarks and closing prayer. Amen. Brother Phil.
Okay. Well, my heart is full, and since this last sister gave me Psalm 61. I've been meditating on it and while I'm listening to you.
Amen.
And it's an honor that I got to be your last monthly speaker as you enter into a new dimension, a new realm, a new season. And I just pray. I felt led to pray that God in its midst would reach around the world. You got a team of sisters who are so immersed in the Lord their God. It is a powerful testimony. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this unity. I feel like oil running down our sisters who dwell in unity. Psalm 133 is happening among you. I just want to speak that word to you. I look forward to what the Lord gives me to preach next Thursday. I want to just close with Psalm 61. It's short. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years, as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that speaks loud, doesn't it?
You know, the word of God, life.
Yeah.
Jesus, my words are life and truth. And we pray for your mercy, your truth, your truth, and your mercy, Jesus. Thank you that we really are your offspring. Thank you, God, that you care for every human being could become your offspring. You did not put up with Satan deceiving your children and becoming bonded laborers in the kingdom of death. No, you took on flesh and came here like a father, like a mother bear, roaring out of her den to protect her cubs. This is what you have done. This is what you have done. This is what you're doing. And we are humble that you've chosen us to help you do it. God, in our midst.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So we will sing praise to your name forever, that we may daily perform our vows. O King, gracious, merciful, eternal King. Oh,
Lord.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
It's a beautiful thing that we don't feel like we have to even speak when God is in our midst. We get to just feel his presence in our midst. And I know that's what we're doing. And bless you, sister. It's a real awesome,
hallelujah,
awesome awesome, awesome gift of life and getting to be with each other on this side of eternity, where we'll be with each other forever. And we just pray that every listener got seated and felt the breath of God, you God.
Oh.
Who are we? Who are we that we get together so that you can be in our midst? That's incredible. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I know that he's touching people right now. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I see his right hand. His right hand is exalted. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
His right
hand
is exalted us even now. Thank you for that, Lord.
Thank you,
Thank you for your right hand does valuable. Thank you. Your righteous right hand. Thank you. Blessed
you,
be your name.
Lord, you came to destroy the works of the enemy and let this broadcast just permeate just cast down every vain thing that rises up against your mercy, your truth, your knowledge. Satan might have been the prince of the power of the air over there, but not over here. Blessed are the women who know the joyful sound. And I speak that over this broadcast and this team. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God in the midst. The Lord thy God in the midst of is mighty, is mighty. Remember that old charismatic song?
No, I don't.
The Lord thy God. It goes, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will save. He'll rejoice over thee with joy. Dun, dun. An old charismatic tune. I'm sorry. I don't know. But.
I was about to say maybe we're going to get a new a new theme song.
No. Yeah, man, but maybe a new God in the midst theme song. I'll think of one for you. I'm a singer-songwriter.
Yeah,
I'm more of a songwriter than a singer. More of a songwriter than a singer. But
okay,
someone's
write
got
a song for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we commission you today. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, God bless everyone. Oh, my goodness. Just the presence of the Lord just so rich and so wonderful. And we just say thank you all for being with us tonight. And what you're perceiving right now is the presence of God. He's with you. Take him with you.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
Have a blessed man. Rest of the Amen. Night, everyone. Love you all.
Yes.
Y'all tell the people them, don't.